What's going on, everybody? Welcome into another episode of the Two Stripes Podcast, the podcast that covers everything happening in the college football universe. My name is Colton Denning, and I am your host, coming to you from Boulder, Colorado, on Wednesday, October 18th, 2017. Make sure to visit the show and find the show by going to soundcloud.com/twostripespod or subscribe to the show, leave a review, and find this show and every other episode of the Two Stripes Podcast by going on to Apple Podcasts and searching the Two Stripes Podcast. So for today's episode, we usually do a preview of all the games going on, but for week 8, we are going to talk about just one team, and this is a team that I previewed in the summer, and they're making a lot of noise this year. And so to talk about the UCF Knights, I am joined by friend of the show and a returning guest. He is the sports director for 10 News, WTSP, CBS Tampa. You can also find his work at Knights 24/7, and his name is Ryan Bass. Ryan, welcome back to the show, man. Glad to have you on.
Thanks, Colton. Been a while, man. Hope you're doing well. Appreciate you having me back on.
Yeah, last time we talked was in the middle of July, and I had gone out and visited Orlando, and later in the summer, you actually visited Colorado, went to Red Rocks.
I did.
You saw the rooftop at the Colorado Rocky Stadium. That place is a bit of trouble, I can say that from personal experience. What'd you think of the home state?
Hey, I was in Boulder as well, so I had a chance to go there and do some hiking and see the University of Colorado at Boulder, and it was awesome, man. I'll tell you what, you guys are doing it right in Colorado, man. Look, I'm a Florida boy. It'd be hard for me to move away from the beaches and be that landlocked. But Colorado was fun, man. Had a lot of great breweries and a lot of good places to eat and really nice people. It was a fun trip, man. I really enjoyed it.
Well, glad you enjoyed the trip out here. It's about to get a little bit cold, but let's talk about something that is not cold and something that is red hot, and that is UCF football. And when we talked in July, the theme for the episode and what I ended up titling the episode was that Scott Frost was building something special this season. And 5 games into the season, UCF is 5-0. They've blown out every team that they've played. They've won by an average of 50-16. They're ranked 20th in the AP poll. The advanced stats love them. They're 9th in S&P Plus. How impressed are you with what they've been able to do this season, not only on the field, but they've also managed to, work around everything else that's happened off the field with Hurricane Irma. They missed almost a month of play. What do you think about what they've been able to do so far this season?
You asked me how impressed I am, and Colton, the truth is incredibly impressed. Look, I knew that, Scott Frost would get this offense going and humming at some point in time, but to just see the progression from year one to year two with basically a lot of the same guys in the fold is pretty darn incredible. I mean, this offense is humming. It's the top scoring offense in the country. They're averaging over 50 points per game. The maturation of quarterback Mackenzie Milton has been just something that has been truly special to watch. I mean, this is somebody last year who, was turnover prone through the first couple of games. You saw some talent, but there were still some question marks this offseason as to whether or not, he was the guy that should be leading this football team. Even I had a bold prediction that he wasn't going to start the opener. Look how wrong I was, right? Milton has burst onto the scene, 15 touchdowns, 15, I should say, passing touchdowns this year, 1 touchdown rushing, only 2 picks. He's second in the nation in quarterback efficiency rating behind Baker Mayfield, top 11 in total passing yards. I mean, this is somebody who, and total offense as well, this is somebody who has been just exceptional and really has been the catalyst for this offense for UCF. And you thought, Scott Frost being a former quarterback and having personally recruited Mackenzie Milton, you thought, all right, there's going to be a point in time where Milton is going to turn things around and eventually become the quarterback that we all would think he would be. But he was so inconsistent in his freshman season. You thought, all right, some of that nature is going to rear its ugly head again in 2017, and that just hasn't happened. Milton has been spectacular, 2 times being named the, American Conference Offensive Player of the Week, it leads the nation in deep touchdown passes of 25-plus yards or more. He's spread it out. A number of different receivers have gotten involved. I think 10 different players scored a touchdown in last week's win over East Carolina, so he's been spreading the ball around offensively as well. This team has been just spectacular. Defensively, I thought they'd take a step back you know, having lost their entire starting secondary, but, you know, they get a late transfer, you know, in the fall from a guy named Mike Hughes, a one-time star at North Carolina, was at community college, comes in, barely knows the playbook and has already been a star defensively, you know, is third in the nation in pass breakups per game, returned a 66-yard punt return for a touchdown against East Carolina last year, the first one they've had in quite a while at UCF. So, you know, he's been a spark defensively and on special teams. And this defense has been a turnover machine. You know, that they are, you know, one of four teams in the country, and included in that four is Alabama and Ohio State, to rank in the top 15 in scoring offense and scoring defense. They've been, you know, really, really efficient at, you know, turning football teams over, getting to the quarterback, and making it tough on opposing offenses. They'll really face a true test this week against the top rushing offense in the country in Navy, who runs that triple option. But yeah, on both sides of the football, UCF has been extremely dominant, and it's really been a thing to witness just how far this offense has come in a short time under Scott Frost.
You mentioned how good quarterback Mackenzie Milton's been, and that was one of the big things that we talked about in July, and that the season would hinge on his growth and development at quarterback, and he's been so, so good. What stands out to you most about the way that he's been able to lead the offense and be one of the best quarterbacks in the nation?
I think a couple of things. First, the lack of mistakes. You know, that was one thing that I mentioned last year. I mean, in his first start against Maryland, you know, he turned the ball over four times. And UCF almost won that game. They lost it in double overtime. You know, he had this gunslinger mentality last year. And look, you know, you kind of have to take chances when you're in a Scott Frost offense. But it just seemed like he was forcing the football too much last year. And this year, he's just looked like a totally different quarterback. He's calm. He's cool. He's collected. He knows the playbook. You know, he's been patient in the pocket. He's been able to escape the pocket and buy more time for his receivers to get open. As I mentioned, he's spreading the football around. He's able to throw it downfield with ease. And granted, you know, this is a talented offense. I mean, there are a number of weapons that opposing defenses, you know, have to game plan for. You have Adrian Killens out of the backfield. Otis Anderson is a freshman this year who's been spectacular catching the football as well. Jordan Akins, you know, a senior tight end. Dredrick Snelson, you know, a former four-star recruit, has burst onto the scene and been very reliable. You know, they just have a Traquan Smith. I'm forgetting maybe the best wide receiver in the American Conference. So, you know, they just have so many weapons offensively that has allowed Milton to really spread the football around. And again, he's limiting the turnovers. He's been confident. You know, he's playing with this swagger, if you will, that we just haven't seen at the quarterback position in quite some time, maybe since, you know, Blake Bortles has left this program. So, you know, his success has really been key in UCF, you know, starting the season 5-0, really their best start in program history. And if he can continue, you know, to play this way, I'm writing up an article today, actually, for Knights 24/7 on five reasons why, you know, UCF can finish the year undefeated. And my top reason, or I should say the number one reason, is Mackenzie Milton's continued improvement. If he plays the way that he, you know, has been capable of the first, you know, few games of the season, I just don't see how this UCF team can slow down. They play, you know, only one team that's ranked in the top 50 in total defense the rest of the way, and that's USF. So Milton should be able to continue to pick apart defenses, and what he's been doing is truly special. He has just really picked up the Scott Frost playbook this year and proving why he was, the Gatorade Player of the Year out of Hawaii. He has been very, very special.
Let's talk about some of those weapons you mentioned. And when we last talked, you predicted that Traquan Smith was in for a 1,000-yard season. And through five games, he has 20 catches for 430 yards, seven touchdowns. He's averaging over 21 yards per catch. But it's not like he's the only guy on that receiving corps. There's also Dedrick Snelson and then freshman Otis Anderson, who you mentioned. They're both having nice seasons. Plus tight end Jordan Atkins with 11 catches for 214 yards and three touchdowns. So far, this receiving corps is really kicking some ass this year, man.
Yeah, and you mentioned Smith. You mentioned the seven touchdowns. That's just receiving. He also has a rushing touchdown. He was absolutely deadly lethal in that game against Cincinnati. I believe he scored four touchdowns in that game. And that just goes to show you just how talented he is and how NFL-ready he is. UCF has had, you know, a pedigree of turning out NFL talent at the receiver position. Look at Brandon Marshall and Mike Sims-Walker. You know, Kamar Aiken comes to mind. Brashad Perriman, who's, you know, had an up-and-down career due to injuries, but still somebody that, you know, was a high draft pick this year. UCF has been you know, turning out talent at that receiver position year in and year out. And I think Tre'Quan Smith is going to be that next guy. I wouldn't be surprised, you know, if he does surpass that 1,000-yard mark, which I expect him to do, that, you know, he decides to leave early and enter the NFL draft. I just think he's that talented and can be, you know, that special of a football player. I mean, when you have a guy like Troy Walters coaching your offense, you know, even he said that, you know, a former Biletnikoff winner, that Tre'Quan Smith is one of the best receivers that he's ever coached. And that's certainly some high praise coming from him and the way that Coach Walters played at Stanford. So, you know, look, this offense is loaded. We're forgetting about Marlon Williams, too, a freshman who's caught a touchdown pass this year as well, who's been good on offense. This team just has so many weapons at its disposal, and you have to credit the way that Scott Frost has recruited. I mean, you look at some of these sophomores and true freshmen that have come in and made an impact. And keep in mind, this is all without a guy that was, a key playmaker for them last year, Tre'Quan Smith, who I believe was second on the team in receiving yards last year. He was suspended the first six games. So UCF is going to get him back after this Navy game. So that's even more reinforcements that's on the way.
And that extends out to the running game, too. And even though they haven't been prolific by any sort of stretch, they've still been very good on the ground. And they have a lot of weapons, too. They have four players already with 20 or more carries this season, and then a couple more with over 10. So as much as the passing game likes to spread around the ball, the running game does that, too. It's not like they just employ a Lane Kiffin strategy where it's get one or two guys the ball. They are really content with just giving all of those playmakers and different types of playmakers the ball in different situations.
Absolutely. And look, it's a shame because UCF lost their starting running back this year, Juwan Hamilton, to a season ending injury. He won't be back this year, and he was off to a good start as well. You know, he was clearly the best running back in camp, and Scott Frost made it known that he was going to be the starter, you know, over everybody else. But still, I mean, Taj McGowan has come on, and, you know, he's more of a bigger bruiser, you know, bruising back. He's come on and done a fine job, especially in the red zone, you know, filling in for Juwan Hamilton. You know, you have Greg McCray, who really wasn't a name that I expected to emerge as a playmaker in this offense throughout camp. And he's come on and just been an absolute stud, especially late in games, kind of spelling, that first and second team. He's been great. I mean, his fresh legs have really provided an extra kind of spark for Scott Frost. And I think you're going to see his playing time increase because every time he's been in there, he's been making plays. And then there's the four-star freshman that Scott Frost got a couple of days after a signing day this year, Cordarian Richardson, you know, the guy, the true freshman out of Memphis, former four-star back, you know, committed to Maryland on signing day. And then a couple of days later, you know, he decided he was going to change his mind and came to UCF, and it's paid off. You know, he has shown flashes as well of how special he can be. I still think, you know, he has a little bit of a ways to go to kind of pick up the playbook and become even more comfortable and to see how Scott Frost does use him because he is kind of this big physical back. He runs, you know, like he's a lot lighter than he is, but he does have these physical attributes where he can just run guys over. So they are stacked in the backfield as well. And then you can't forget Adrian Killens, who acts as a running back as well. I mean, they've used him, you know, back there running the football, you know, pitching it. And I mean, his speed is, he's one of the fastest guys in the entire country. So, you know, look, Frost has weapons offensively. We knew that coming in. We just didn't know how Milton was going to mesh with those weapons. We weren't sure, you know, how the offensive line would hold up. And that's something that we haven't talked about. You know, Golden, is how good that offensive line has been. They have given up one sack this year, one single sack. And that has allowed this offense to really get into a groove. McKinney Milton is not hitting the dirt, and that has been key, you know, for this offense. The O-line, although they've been banged up, you've had guys that have kind of been in and out, noticeably, number 53, Tyler Hudnick, who's their top offensive lineman, has kind of been working his way back from an ACL injury last year. So they really haven't had, you know, a cohesive unit outside of Jordan Johnson, you know, at that center position, and Wyatt Miller, one of the guards, tackle position. So yeah, that offensive line's been spectacular. Just one sack allowed, and that's really allowed the offense and its playmakers to be successful.
Well, the offense gets all the love, but the defense has been pulling their weight as well. They still haven't let an opponent score over 25 points in a game this season. What stood out most to you about their defense this year?
You know, you knew the defensive line was going to be good. You didn't know how good, and it's clearly evident that, you know, Jamias Pittman and you know, the group that they have up front there, led by him and Tony Garrard and Tristan Hill. That's, you know, in the 3-4 defense, I mean, it doesn't get much better than those three as far as a beefed up and experienced defensive line. And they've been fantastic at getting to the quarterback and providing pressure and making it easier on what's been a young secondary. I mean, Trey Neal and Kyle Gibson are two first-year starters in that defensive backfield. Now, Gibson, a 4-star recruit out of Armwood High School, came in, you know, highly heralded and hadn't really lived up to those expectations to this point. Played sparingly last year, you know, in the nickel package, with UCF, how much experience they had in that secondary. But that was really the key question mark is, all right, how are these guys, Brandon Moore on the outside, you know, a young cornerback, and not having Neville Clark, who was suspended with Peyton the first six games, you know, how would this team respond? Because Clark was their best cover corner. You get Hughes that came in here. He's been spectacular. It's just been such a smooth transition for him. You know, he already has a pick six this year against Maryland. And as I mentioned earlier, you know, third in the nation in pass breakups per game. Trey Neal has returned an interception for a touchdown last week. Kyle Gibson, you know, has had a couple of interceptions this year as well. And then at linebacker, you know, Pat Jasinski leads the team in tackles. You know, I think he's been a pleasant surprise, and a lot of people expected, you know, Shaquem Griffin's numbers to drop off, you know, given the success he had last year. I mean, he has received a lot of attention, and a lot of offensive coordinators are kind of game planning, you know, to try to get around him. And he's still, you know, second on the team in tackles, first on the team in sacks, tied for first in tackles for loss, you know, tied for first in forced fumbles. So, you know, he's somebody that is still putting up numbers despite the extra attention. So Eric Chenander last year came in and really turned this defense into one of the best defenses in the country. And you're seeing, you know, that continue into 2017. And I think they're only going to get better with the addition of Neville Clark, you know, after the Navy game when he comes back off suspension as well. So this defense is so talented and they're so young. They're going to be good for quite a long time, man. It's going to be really, really fun to see.
Well, the defense is going to have quite the test this week against Navy, and let's get into that game. And from the outside, you can tell that this one's going to be a big game because Scott Frost is putting on the helmet in practice and getting some practice reps in to get the team ready for this one.
Yeah, he is. And what better quarterback, you know, would you rather have back there on the scout team, you know, than a guy who ran the option maybe better than anybody, you know, has ever in college football when he won a national championship, you know, for the Cornhuskers in 97. So, Scott Frost is doing what he does, man. And, we saw a little bit of it in fall camp. He kind of put the helmet on and, you know, having Georgia Tech on the schedule and Navy, who both run the triple option, you know, Frost kind of, doubled as the scout team quarterback in fall camp. And you kind of saw how athletic he was. And the players were kind of taking it back, too. They're like, wait, whoa, that's our head coach? He's 45 years old and he's running out there like he still has eligibility left. I mean, he has really been special. And I think, look, Colton, that's what makes this team so special is they have a head coach that is young, that the players can relate to, that they can rally around, that isn't afraid to strap up the helmet and get in there and show the guys how it's, you know, how it should be done. I mean, there was a point in time during, spring camp where Frost was just frustrated with how the offense was moving the football. They just weren't getting a grasp of the playbook. He said, you know, screw it. Give me a helmet. I'm going to get under there, show you how it's done. How much respect, you know, do those players have when they see their head coach, you know, the guy at the top that runs this program, you know, getting down there and saying, this is how it should be done. And that's what makes this team, you know, so special. And I think, you know, makes UCF so special right now and hopefully for the long term if they can keep Frost and his assistants around because, you know, look, they just have a lot of young, energetic guys, and Frost is at the head of that. And you know, he has this team prepared. You know, Navy comes in with, 320-plus yards rushing per game, the top rushing offense in the country. And, Memphis beat them last week despite, you know, them putting up 300-plus yards on the ground. Look, they're going to get theirs. That's what Navy does. I mean, the triple option is hard to stop. You kind of that trickery how deceiving it is really tricks a lot of defenses. But UCF is one of the most disciplined defenses in the conference, if not in the country. So Navy's still going to get yards on the ground. Don't be surprised if they put up 200 yards on the ground, but they're not going to throw the football. And if they do, you know, like the Memphis game, it's going to be picked off, because UCF is so special, at the linebacker position and in the secondary. So You know, Frost back there running the option is only going to help these guys prepare for what is arguably their second toughest game remaining on the schedule, maybe even the toughest game remaining on the schedule this season. And it just goes to show you, you know, how special Frost is and what he's building at UCF when he can throw the helmet on and get under center and school some of his boys there.
What do you think the biggest key for this game is? Because like you said, we know what Navy likes to do. They like to hold on to the ball. They're going to run the ball 50 times a game. What do you think is the most important piece for UCF's offense? Because whenever you play one of these service academies, you got to maximize the possessions that you get, because you never know if you're going to get more than one possession in each quarter.
Well, I think the biggest thing, well, first of all, UCF's offensive efficiency has been exceptional this year. They played a near perfect game against Cincinnati, scoring on every single offensive possession, and that game was called in the third quarter. So UCF doesn't have a problem scoring, and Navy isn't very good defensively. So UCF shouldn't have trouble putting up points. The key for UCF is you have to score early and score often, because Navy's going to dominate the time of possession. They're going to churn out yards. You know, they're going to go on long, methodical, you know, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 play drives. And if you're UCF, if you can get out from the gate and just, you know, keep scoring on these four, five, six play drives, it's going to put the pressure on Navy to abandon the run and to try to throw the football. And that's exactly what you want to do. That's exactly how you want to neutralize that offense, is to get them out of what they are comfortable doing and what they do very well, which is, you know, basically just, you know, jamming the football down your throat. And so if you're UCF, you have to score early, you have to score often, and you have to try to get turnovers, because if you can force them to fumble the football, or if they do drop back and pass, you know, force them into mistakes offensively, that's where you're going to win this football game. I think UCF is going to have its way with Navy offensively. The question is, will the defense stay disciplined enough you know, to keep that run game out of sync? But again, scoring early, scoring often, you know, putting up points the way UCF has done, and I don't expect that to slow down. I still think they're going to put up 40-plus points in this game. You know, I think UCF is going to win. It might be closer than some people think. I know the spread is it's teetered, you know, between 8 and 6.5 points. I think it's going to be, you know, it should be in that range. But if UCF, you know, gets out to an early 14-point lead, watch out, because it could get ugly, especially with the fact that Navy likes to dominate the time of possession. So it's going to be fun to watch, Colton. I mean, this is the biggest test to date for UCF. If they can get out of this game and escape with a W, watch out, because they could head up, you know, head into that USF game in the end of the year undefeated.
All right, final one for you here, and I'll get you out of here. It's the elephant in the room. Everybody's talking about it. How big of a deal out there is the Scott Frost to Nebraska stuff?
It's not just Nebraska. You know, he's rumored as a candidate for the, you know, Oregon State job. If Tennessee comes open, I'm sure they're going to do their due diligence. Look, you usually don't get a lot of this chatter until, you know, late November, December. That's when, you know, you start to see coaches fired, you know, right around the last game of the year. And, you know, as teams prepare for their bowl games, you know, that's when you start to see some of this, you know, this chatter around, you know, coaches changing places. So for me, you know, I right now, and this might be surprising to some people, Colton, I think UCF is a better job than Nebraska right now. I think UCF is a better job than Oregon State right now. Now, you know, is it a better job than Tennessee? Probably not, because of the unlimited resources you have in the SEC. You know, but if Scott Frost, you know, has the option of Nebraska or UCF, I think he's going to stay at UCF right now, to be honest. I mean, UCF launched a fundraising campaign yesterday, you know, in an effort called the Football Excellence Fund. And basically, if you read between the lines, Colton, it's in an effort to try to keep Frost, to pay him more, and to increase the salary of his assistant coaches. And that's how you're going to keep Frost. He likes Orlando. You know, his wife likes Orlando. They have another baby on the way. You know, this is he's building something special. He feels this sense of, you know, this sense of responsibility to some of the young guys that he has recruited, you know, to come play for him at UCF. You know, who knows what can happen with the conference landscape in the next couple of years if the Big 12 does decide to expand. If they keep in mind, Colder, imagine if they had decided to expand last year. It was actually on this day a year ago where the Big 12 came out and decided not to expand. Can you imagine had they decided? I mean, look at the product they'd be getting in USF and UCF. They're boneheaded. They're stupid for not doing that last year. Now, of course, it was hard to predict what UCF would look like, but still, you know, this Scott Frost situation, is it a distraction yet? No. Will it become a distraction? I believe so, as the chatter gets louder and louder, you know, as Christmas, you know, comes closer. But UCF's doing everything in their power to raise money, to try to increase Frost's salary. He's already making $2 million this year. His assistant salary pool, you know, isn't what, you know, he would like it to be and what the school would like it to be. So I'm sure they're going to try to increase that, you know, up from, I think it's $1.5 to $2.5 million. Frost salaries at $2 million. Don't be surprised if he signs yet another conference contract extension this offseason and bumps that salary up, maybe $500,000, maybe even more than that, to try to get him to be paid, you know, even closer to, you know, the highest paid coach in the American Conference. So, you know, UCF is doing everything they possibly can to keep Frost, and they're going to do their due diligence to try to keep Frost. But again, might be hard to fend off a program like Tennessee if they come calling. But I think he's safe in Orlando from Nebraska and Oregon State to this point. But we'll see what happens moving forward.
That's good news, because I got to say, as somebody that born and raised in Boulder to my black and gold brethren out in Orlando, anytime something bad happens or nothing good happens for Nebraska, I'm all for it. So I hope Scott Frost stays at UCF for a long time.
Hey, man, you're preaching to the choir, buddy. I hope he makes a home in Orlando and leads us to a group of five New Year's Six bowl game this year, and we'll see what happens moving forward. But look, 2 years of Scott Frost, you know, I made a bold prediction, you know, Colton, before the season that this would be, you know, Frost's last season, you know, coaching at UCF. It's still a bold prediction. But if he goes on and leads this team to the Peach Bowl and they play, you know, a major program like an Ohio State or a Georgia or someone of that nature, and he ends up beating them, it's going to be hard to keep him in Orlando, man, because everybody's going to be licking their chops to get Scott Frost. But again, he's building something special. He feels this sense of responsibility to the guys here, and he wants to build a winner out of UCF, and so far he's done that in a year and a half in Orlando.
Well, if you want to check out any of UCF's march to the New Year's Six Bowl, be sure to watch their game versus Navy on Saturday, 3:30 p.m. on CBS Sports Network. Also, keep up with everything happening at UCF by following Ryan on Twitter at @Rye_Bass. Also, make sure to go to UCF.247sports.com. Check out all of the great coverage of UCF football at Knights 24/7. And then Ryan's got everything going on in the sports world right now over at 10 News WTSP. The Lightning have started. Buccaneers are in full swing. You're a busy guy, man.
Hey, man, it's a fun time. I mean, last night I had the Lightning game on one screen. I had the NBA on the other, you know, playoff baseball, you know, getting ready for a big Bucks game this Saturday. Of course, college football is the best time of the year, Colton, and it's fun to be working in sports, as you very well know. So, I appreciate you having me on anytime. You know, you want a UCF, insight on anything, be sure to give me a shout, man. I'm more than happy to come on.
Absolutely. I appreciate you taking the time out of your very busy schedule to talk to me and drop some knowledge about UCF. Ryan, thanks for joining, man.
Thanks, Colton. Appreciate it.